Encourage you to find the outline that's in your bulletin. The scripture references that I'll be using are there. We finished chapter 5 of Ephesians last week. I think with us about some things and directions we're going as a church body, some decisions we're going to be making. The number one desire of our hearts is to know God's will and to seek God's plan, God's will, God's purpose. So I want to think about that today. We are here to seek and to know God's will. Can we know God's will? Yes, we can. We can discover and we can just do that together as a body of believers. So as we think about that, I want us to just say, that's what we're here for. Whatever that is. Whatever direction that takes us. Because when I seek God's will, I don't always know how it's going to turn out. Sometimes it does go like I think it's going to go. Either way. So if you have your outline, the first thing that you can write in is, I want a desire to do God's will. I want a desire to do God's will. What I'm suggesting is, there's one thing about knowing God's will. It's another thing to do it. Can you know it and not do it? Yeah. So what I'm suggesting is, as a body of believers and as an individual in my own journey, I want to do God's will. That's my desire. The passage from Psalms on your notes says, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I delight to do your will. Not drudgery. Not, well, if God will. But I delight to do God's will. And discover that. Now, when we think about desiring His will, obviously God has revealed a lot of His will. Where? How do you know a lot of what God already wants? You got a book called the Bible that tells you what God desires. There's a lot of things already outlined. You don't have to ask Him about loving your neighbor. You don't have to ask Him about being kind or honest. It's there. I mean, I know what God's will is. But it's applying those principles to our day-to-day life. That's where we want to do that. So I desire to do God's will. I want to know that. What is God's number one will for every person? Number one desire of God for every human being. That they be born again of Jesus Christ and to know Him. That's number one, God's desire, God's will for every person. Now, we can respond and receive that, or we can ignore Him. He won't force that on us. But I believe that's God's desire. So if I want to do God's will, it begins by opening my heart to Christ and say, Jesus, I've sinned against You and I need to be saved. Would You come and live inside me? That's where I begin to know God's will. I desire to do that. But I want to suggest desiring to know God's will is a privilege. First of all, it's a privilege to know what God's will is, to discover that. Who can discover God's will? What has to happen to you? If you're going to be seeking the will of God, there has to be something in your life that causes you to want to do that. What is that? That's the relationship to Jesus Christ. So if you want to know God's will, you want to do God's will, it means you have a relationship with God to start with. And that's wonderful. To know that I belong to Christ and to know that I desire that means that I belong to Him and He's at work in my life. Praise His name. Secondly, I delight to do God's will because when I do it, I like the outcome. Is that always true? Is God's will always a positive outcome? It's not easy, but it is good. God's plan and God's desire for each of us and for us as a group of believers is, I want to do His will because it's a privilege to know God's will, to do God's will, and to watch what happens when I follow what He's saying in Scripture and in my own individual life, applying those Scriptures to who I am. The next passage that's on your notes also talks about that. It says, therefore, always being of good courage, and knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight, we are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. The Scripture says, we will talk about this especially when we people go to be with the Lord and pass away, which we've thought about earlier this morning. But notice what he said. We're to be absent from the body is to be where? For the believer, for the child of God, to be present with the Lord. Because of that, because of our relationships, there's a therefore, because of that, we have as our what? Our ambition, our goal, our dream, our desire to be pleasing to Him. I think as a child of God, I want to know that I please God. If I make God happy, am I going to do pretty good? If I please Him the way I do things and the way I follow in the Scripture, then I'm going to live a pretty good life. So we make it our goal to be pleasing to Him. And so each day we seek to do that as well as a group of individuals. Now when I do that, when I seek to do God's will, now I recognize we don't do it perfectly, right? Do we ever mess up? Yeah. Sometimes does He ever forgive us of that? They bring us back in line. He does. So we're glad for that. But when I seek and to follow what I understand to be God's will out of the Word and as the Word applies to my life, what quality of life will I live when I follow what He says? Will the quality of my life go up? It always goes up when I follow God's ways, God's direction, God's will. And it will be, my quality of life today will be better. My quality of life in the future will be better. And in the heaven, it will really be better. So, my desire is to do God's will, to know it, which is a privilege, to understand it, then to do it and receive that. Now, if I'm going to do that, let me suggest some other things that we want to do. The second thing on your notes is, seek first God's kingdom. If I'm going to seek His will, I seek first His kingdom. These are the words of Jesus as He talked to the disciples and others. He said, don't worry then about then saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, is that true or not? Did Jesus mean what He said? He did. So if I'm to find God's will, I want to see His kingdom. He said, don't worry about all the other stuff, which we often do. But He said, seek first as a priority the rule and the reign of Jesus. Now, when we think about seeking first His kingdom, what are we thinking about? We're thinking that He's going to come someday and rule, and we understand that. But can we have some dominion of Jesus now? See, when I think of kingdom, I think sometimes we think of a country or of a position. But when I think about this scripture, Jesus said, seek first His kingdom. The word kingdom has two parts to it. King, domain. King's domain. King's rule. So if I want to seek first His kingdom, I'm saying I want you to rule first in my life. Can His kingdom come in your life and my life when I learn to say, your kingdom come in me. Your rule take place in my life. Your purpose in my life. Your plan in my life. And the second part of that was His righteousness. What He sees is right. What He sees is good. What His plans are. So I seek that as a priority. The other passage is from what we call the model prayer. Some people call it the Lord's Prayer. Jesus said, pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what Jesus told us to pray. To pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your rule, your dominion. I've become more and more aware that the kingdom of God is people who love Jesus and are following Jesus. It's not a system per se. It's not a program per se. It is the rule and reign of Jesus. His kingdom is the people who belong to Him and are trying to follow Him. And so we pray this kingdom may come, that His will be done on earth like it is in heaven. What kind of lifestyle will we have if His kingdom and His will is being done down here like it is up there? Our lives will change. This whole world will change the more we move in that direction. And so our desire is, I want to seek first. That's a priority in my life. If I'm to know His will, I say to God, give me this attitude that I want Your kingdom, Your rule in me first. Not hopefully other people, but in my own life. So I want to seek first His kingdom. As a part of that, the next thing is to give myself to God. If I want His kingdom to come, His rule to come, I give myself to God. This is a familiar passage to us in Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. I urge you, because of God's mercy. Has God extended any mercy to you? We wouldn't be here with God's mercy. He cares for us. Because of that, we present our bodies, our lives, as a sacrifice yielded to God, acceptable to God, and I'll give myself to God. Lord, I offer myself to You. Now, when I think about that, Lord, I offer myself to You. Does it ever think about this? What does He want me in the first place? What am I really giving God? What kind of nice, excellent gift am I giving if I give Him myself? Not much. But He wants it anyway. And so I come and say, God, I give myself to You. I yield to You. I want You to take over my life. I want to be give myself as fully as I can to You. By the mercies of God, I present my life, my body, as a sacrifice, acceptable to God, as an act of worship. Now, I suggest two things about this. When we come to know Jesus as Savior, we're committing ourselves to Christ. We're receiving Him as Savior. So there's an initial giving myself to Christ. But do you ever have to yield to Him again? Do you ever have to, every day, say, Lord, I surrender to You today. I give this to You. Do you ever have a habit that God says, that needs to be changed? You say, okay, God, I give that to You. Do you ever have an attitude that ought to be changed? And God says, you need to give that to Me. You need to yield that. So I'm suggesting the yielding to God, giving myself to God, is an initial beginning by praying and yielding to Him as Savior. But there's this ongoing yieldedness of my life to Christ, day by day, moment by moment, even. And when I do that, I can know the will of God better because I've already yielded to Him in the first place. God, I want Your way. On the other side of your notes, another aspect of seeking the will of God is, and doing it, ask God to help me think as He does. Ask God to help me to think as He does. Now, is there a need for adjustment in my thinking compared to God's thinking? Is there any difference between the human level of figuring things out and God's way of thinking? They're worlds apart, usually. We need God to change our thinking. The Scripture says, again, this is the second verse in Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Ask God to change my way of thinking. He said, to renew our mind. I think renewing our mind is an ongoing process. And changing the way I deal with things. It dawned on me that when we become a believer in Christ and start following Christ, we have to learn to think and feel and respond differently than we used to. Some of you know I tangled with a wood splitter some months ago. This finger of mine is getting well. But it dawned on me the other day, I'm still treating it like I did when I first hurt it. I need to change my thinking. It's no longer injured. Do you suppose in our lives sometimes we still treat ourselves as though we're lost and we're not? Do you suppose we're still responding to ways we used to think that need to be altered by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God, that I'm no longer a sinner. I've been saved. I've been redeemed. I have a new way of thinking. I have a new attitude about life that God wants me to have. And for me, it was a revelation. Wait a minute. I quit treating this. I quit babying it anymore. Because it's well. It no longer hurt. I can take a shower. I can do whatever. It was not. So what I'm saying is, ask God to change your thinking about life and about things and about issues. Because from a human standpoint, we are prone to think one way when God's in knowledge to think another way. And ask Him to help me think as He does. Now, if I'm going to do that, of course, where am I going to need to be? I'm going to need to be in the Word. The more I read and study Scripture and apply it to Scripture, the more my mind's going to think. And God's Holy Spirit helps us to think differently. And I'm grateful for that. But I want to learn to think as God thinks. I want to learn, by God's grace, the Lord show me how I can align my thinking with the Word of God and what the Holy Spirit has on me to do. So, God, I ask Him to help me think as He does. That's how I'm going to discover His will. Because my processes are different. Another aspect of this, submit my will to God's will. Submit my will to God's will. Jesus, in this passage, which we're familiar with, before the crucifixion, it says He went a little way beyond them and fell on His face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as You will." He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, "My Father, if this cannot pass away, unless I drink it, Your will be done." I want to suggest that this is not an easy place to get. We have our own desires and our own wills. Jesus, I think, exhibited that example in His own life. Jesus was saying, if there's any other way to save people, any other way to accomplish what I came to do, then let it be. Did He know what He was facing? I think He knew what He was facing. He was saying, from a human standpoint, I'd just rather not go through it. But He said, "That's all right, Lord, whatever Your will is, not mine." For us to submit our will to God's will sometimes is scary. Because we don't always know how it's going to go. We don't know the outcome of it. So I'm saying, God, I want to learn to trust You so much that I give up my plans, my goals, my dreams, my purposes, my preferences even. Do we have preferences? We've all got them, one way or another. But when I submit to His will, I'm saying, God, I give them up to You. For You to change them, You to show me what You want me to do with this. Does a couple who get married ever have to learn to give up their preferences? Yeah, if you're going to get along, you learn to cooperate, to surrender your plans to learn together. But what I'm saying is, if I want to discover and to know the will of God as an individual or as a group of believers, I have to say, God, I'm going to put aside my will and whatever You want is okay. I accept that. Now, is that easy? No. It's not easy, but is it good? It's always good to do it His way. So I'm saying I want to submit my will to say, not mine, but Yours, whatever that is. If that's what I want, great. If it's not what I want, great. Because every time when His desire is for us really wasn't what I had planned. But is it still better than what I had planned? So we're saying, God, help me to submit my will to Your will. My plans to Your plans. And trust that through the Word and through prayer and through the body, we're going to find out what that is. So, as I think about these, to me, these are some things that we want to be doing as a body of believers and individually to find God's will as we look for some things for the future. I want to do it. I want to desire to do it. I want to seek first His kingdom as I yield myself to Him. Help me to think as He thinks and to submit my will to His. Now, if we do that, if we say, God, okay, I'm desiring Your will. Discovering God's will is sometimes a process. We don't always get the whole picture at once. We take one step at a time. I think we discover that when we follow the Lord, that He doesn't always say, okay, here's the whole path. He says, this is the first step. And you say, okay, I'll take that one. You don't know what else is coming. You realize God don't always dump the whole will at once if we don't take the first step in the first place. And we say, God, okay, that's what I understand you want. I'm doing that one. Then He may say, do this one. And do this one. Does He ever show you the end of the road? Not usually. He just shows you step at a time. But can you trust Him with those steps? Can you trust His hand? Yeah, you can trust Him. And so we say, I want to do that. And we learn to do it more and more. We learn to trust Him more and more all the time, right? He puts us through events, through things. He puts us where we have to trust Him. We learn to trust Him better and better and better. It's an ongoing process until we go to heaven, I guess. So the last thing on your notes, I want to experience the result of doing God's will. The result. I like the outcome. Experience the result of doing God's will. Because there's a positive outcome of that. Is there always a positive outcome of doing it God's way? Always. Never a negative. Never. Didn't say it's easy, but the result is good. So let me look at this passage in Colossians chapter 1. He says, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. I want you to notice something. He prayed that it might be filled with the knowledge of His will in spiritual wisdom, God's direction in our mind and spirit, understanding, so that you do what? You walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. You represent Him well. We live well before Him. We picture Him accurately and well in the community where we live because we're doing His will. He said, you'll walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Aren't you glad He didn't say that you have to be worth it? No, we don't ever get saved because we're worth it. But we live worthy. We represent Him well. So we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Folks, if we can represent Jesus in our community like that, that's, and by doing His will, that's worthwhile. I live worthy of Him. I live a life that honors Him, that glorifies Him, that causes others to see how good He is. I want to live worthy of the Lord. So when I do His will, that's one of the things I do. I please Him in all respects. Praise the Lord. Then He said, I bear fruit in good works. When I do His will, the result of my life is good things that are pleasing to God, that are produce good life and a quality life, bearing fruit in every good work. I guess another way of saying it is we produce the fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, joy, goodness, meekness, temperance, and self-control. Did I have a good life or not? That's God. When I do it, those things He said are going to come. There's good works. I increase in the knowledge of God. Anybody here needing to learn more about God? Anybody here think you got him figured out yet? No. There's a whole lot more we can learn and experience about the Lord. So when I do His will, He said in this scripture, that we increase in the knowledge of His will and the wisdom and understanding, we increase in our knowledge of God. Now you recognize that knowledge of God means more than just knowing it up here. You can learn about God through the Word and reading it, but do you also have knowledge of God because you've met Him and experienced Him in your life? You saw Him at work in your life. You followed Him, saw what He does. You can say, I know, because I've watched Him do it. And you have that kind of knowledge, too, that God gives in your life. So we increase in knowledge of God. Strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. Well, you see the qualities that He gives us here? In this scripture passage, if I do the will of God and discover it and walk in it, I'll increase with power according to His might. We learn to depend on His power, on His might, on His abilities, which are way beyond ours. For the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. So we get a quality of life that stays, that sticks, steadfast. And we can be in it day in, day out. I don't like life that goes like this all the time. I like to know there's some solid standing. And he said, in doing the will of God, we have steadfastness and we learn to be patient. Now, that patient part is something we hard to learn. But he puts us through situations where we have to be patient, so we learn patience. We don't learn it because I'm going to be patient. No. He puts us in a situation where I've got to wait on and trust him, and I have to be patient. But if I know his will, and I believe God's will is good, I can be patient in it because I know he's working in it. He's alive in it. And I can have patience. Joyously giving thanks to the Father. Hallelujah. I get to praise him. Watch him. See what he does. See how he works things out. And I result in, as an individual, as a group of believers, so we discover God's will. We give thanks that he's revealed it. You see, God, it's wonderful to me that God wants us to know his will. God doesn't have to do any of that. He don't need us, really. He wants us. But he lets us in on what he's doing. For God to show us his plan, his purpose for our individual lives and as a body of believers is a wonderful thing. To hear God, to know that he's at work was a joy and delight. And so we praise him because he's qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Wow. Are you in on that? Are you in on the inheritance? What is the inheritance? Eternal life of Jesus Christ the Lord and all the blessings of heaven. We're because of Christ. And we discover through faith in him, we get to share in that. So, I want you to recognize and just remind us today, doing the will of God is wonderful. Some people think, well, I don't want to do the will of God because it means I'll have to do something terrible. I won't like it. One individual said, I don't want to do the will of God because it means I'll have to marry a fat lady and go to Africa. But do we sometimes think that way? If I do it, I'm not going to like the outcome. That's a lie from the devil. Because when you do, and you discover what he's directing your life to do, and you do it, it's good. You like it. You marry a beautiful lady and stay in America. Well, not necessarily, but anyway. You see what I'm saying? It's wonderful. It's wonderful. So, we're going to discover the will of God, as I said in the first place. You got to be saved, and that's Jesus to save you, forgive you of your sins, and make you a child of God. That's his number one will. That's number one. That has to start there. And then out of that, we come to do these other things. Be restored by his grace. So today, if you don't know Jesus, my prayer is that you'll ask him. God's desire for you is that his son died on the cross, rose again the third day, ascended to heaven. He's coming back. That through faith in him, you can have his life in you, his plan for you, his purpose for you, and you'll like it. You really will. You really will. As a believer in Christ, as I seek him, yield to him, cooperate with him, surrender to him, I'll like the outcome. We will as an individual. So my prayer is that today you'll take these things and say, God, am I yielded? Am I willing? Have I given up my will? Am I willing to seek your plan day by day? Am I willing to surrender moment by moment by moment? Even though sometimes I'd rather not. But I will anyway. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you're here. And Lord, you know those individuals who have never surrendered to your will to be born again. God, I pray that today will be the day. Any person in this building who does not know Jesus will understand the will of God. It's revealed in the death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. That he wants them to be born again. As they yield their lives to him and begin the journey. Lord, I pray you speak to each of us as individuals that we will learn to yield our lives to you. Help us, Lord, as an individual and as a group of believers to surrender our will to your will. To cooperate with you. Lord, you know what needs to happen today, right now. In each of our hearts, as you speak to us, there may be things that need to be, that you're bringing to our attention, that this needs to be different, or this needs to be different. And Lord, we thank you for revealing that, but it's good. Help us then to yield to you and say, yes, Lord, I'll do that. I'll cooperate with you in that. Lord, for those who need other special needs, would you touch their life today? have your way in this service, and Lord, in our response to the Word of God today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.